Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, for the 21st successive year. I'm delighted as somebody who I know as a friend. And John Dunleavy, chairman of the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade, the world's largest parade.
Yes.
It is a parade that has been now in its 252nd year.
Yes.
This is your 21st year of chairmanship. And there is so much controversy each year. As we come up to St. Patrick's Day, you must be doing something right, because and for those listening to us around the world, let me tell you that there are many areas, some of it comes under indeed begrudgery. Some feel that the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade became the biggest parade in the world because people just show up, and nothing could be further from the truth. You're surrounded by a great number of committee members.
Yes.
And those who have actually, many of them have been around for your 21 years, and even some before that.
That is correct, Adrian. Yeah, I'm a people person. I love talking to people, and I like to treat people fairly and squarely. And if you have a problem, come to me, talk to me, and we'll solve the problem. I don't throw them out the window by any means. No, we sit down and we talk, and I liaison with everybody. I go to all the affairs as much as I can, and we get along with one big happy family. But like you just said, Adrian, I don't do it alone. I have a wonderful, wonderful crew with me now, and I had to make some changes along the line. With we have Dr. John Leahy, the president of Quinnipiac University, one of the most great leaders in the United States of America, and an outstanding individual. We have Hilary Byrne. We have Mike Castle. They have all expertise, and that's just to mention a few. There's Frank McGrail, there's Cathy Maselli, along the line. They have all expertise in their own specific way. I can't even use the computer, but I can get people to use it.
Right.
So you lay it off on these various people, and they can. I recognize the wonderful thing that computer is and what it can do and what it can't do. But and the instant communications. At one time, and nobody, there was only about two people had Judge Comerford's telephone number.
That's right.
Nobody knew him, could get a hold of him.
Some people, listeners to this program, would assume that Judge Comerford was actually the longest running chairman, but actually you'd beaten him by a couple of years.
Yeah.
However, there is and has been a great legacy with respect to the, not only the St. Patrick's Day Parade, but the chairmanship of SAME.
Yeah.
I want to go back, though, to a year when history was made. There was one particular year where you didn't have a Grand Marshal. Tell us.
That's correct. That's 1993. We're in litigation in the courts, and Judge Kevin Duffy in the federal court, and it was on February the 26th, 1993, when he came down with his decision. That was the first time the World Trade Center was bombed on the same day. Now, that was only 19 days before the parade, and we didn't know.
And what was the litigation about?
The litigation over individuals who wanted to participate in the parade. So we did, and he came down with a decision that basically, it was a private parade, and we could include and exclude who we want. Now, that was, but we made the decision there wasn't enough time to select a Grand Marshal and all of that. So there was 12 aides that time, normally aide to the Grand Marshal. And we didn't change it to 12 Marshals. Only one time there was 12 Grand Marshals.
Yeah. Was that the controversial decision, that decision which remains in effect today, which in fact becomes a bone of contention not only for many groups, including ILGO, and indeed it scares the bejesus out of a great number of politicians who
they want to bring it up controversy all the time.
With politicians.
Oh yeah.
The reason they give the right arm to be in the parade, and yet they have they know that politically it's a rough one. So many of them opt.
But sure, we never ask anybody who they are or what they are. There's plenty of people of a variety of lifestyles that march in the March of their Emerald Society with the United Irish Counties, their schools and college and fraternal organization. We never ask anybody who they are and have no intention of doing them. But if they want to come and march in the parade, they're more than welcome to do so. As our Grand Marshal a couple of years ago, the writer.
Yeah.
Somebody asked her, and she said, I march on Fifth Avenue for my Irish pride. So that was her answer to the thing. It's there in the background, but it's simmered down, and we don't even think about it anymore, so we don't.
Tell me, though, about the... How is a Grand Marshal selected?
Well, it's selected. There's a small group of people, and we get together every now and again, and they select different names that's thrown in the hat. And we consider them from all different angles, and who's going to bring... The thing about it is the Grand Marshal, the parade represents our faith, our heritage, and our culture.
Mm.
And my responsibility is to preserve, protect, and promote the parade, and eliminate as much controversy out of there as possible. The people come down there. It's a wonderful day for everybody to come down.
Mm-hmm.
The bands, the music. We have our top military participate in the parade the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, they didn't want to come in.
Right.
But it's now web streamed throughout the world.
Yeah.
People in Australia, New Zealand, the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq can also watch the parade on Fifth Avenue, and all the people in Ireland can watch it.
Yeah.
So they can. So there's been a vast, vast improvement on a lot of the various things.
There have been some exceptions. A couple of years ago, the Mary Higgins Clark, who was the writer, she came up in horse and carriage,
yes,
in horse and trap,
yeah,
in great style.
She did.
Have there been many occasions where historically where the Grand Marshal was actually not in a position to walk the length and breadth of the parade?
Well, going back many years ago, I've seen pictures of in the 1930s where the Grand Marshal, Rory Kennedy, who was the Grand Marshal of the parade, I believe it was 1935, he rode up on horseback. So that right when Mary says, she said to me, she says, I'd love to go up Fifth Avenue in a white carriage and a horse.
Right.
And I looked at Mary and I said, well, why not?
Good for you.
You know?
Yeah.
I said, why not? Unique. Hadn't happened before. In my term, it didn't happen. I never seen it before, but I said, why not? And she looked gracious on that carriage going up, and she had a big smile on her face. You can never forget the smile that Mary had on her face going up Fifth Avenue.
We won't see any horse and carriage this year with the selection of Alfred E. Smith, the fourth, who is this year's Grand Marshal.
That's correct. You see, Mary wanted to ride up on the... Most people, to walk up that avenue, you're walking up on cloud nine.
Mm.
Not feel if you're on air going up the avenue with all the people cheering you and so on and so forth. And Al Smith, I'm sure, he'll be on cloud nine going up.
Mm.
I remember walking up myself in 1976. I was an aide to Governor Kerry. And I'll tell you, I still remember that day going up the avenue.
Right.
And every time I go up the avenue, still it sends a shiver down your spine with the amount of people, the millions of people watching it and that. But one of my greatest moments on that parade was in 1992.
Uh-huh.
that was the first year after the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. And we went, sat down with some of the city agencies and that, and we proposed that we're going to stop that parade and have it turn around, everybody turn around at a certain time. And they looked at us and said, there's no way you can do that.
Give us that again.
That we're going to have everybody on that parade turn around and face south to where the Twin Towers once stood.
Uh-huh.
1992. Right. And exactly, everybody was informed, they got a piece
right.
of paper on it. 12:28, everybody stood in place. And at exactly 12:30, it was like a wave going down Fifth Avenue. You had about 90,000 people on the avenue at that time. You had another 70, 80,000 in the formation area, and okay. at least yeah. 3 million people on the avenue watching it. Cardinal Egan was the Grand Marshal. He led us in prayer. And at exactly 12:30, everybody turned around and faced south. And for 2 minutes, you could hear a pin drop. There wasn't a sound. And Mary McAleese reviewed the parade that year, and she remarked that was the most incredible experience she had ever witnessed. And it was, for 2 minutes. Total silence. When you think that amount of people,
yeah.
and it got everybody to comply, and when the people on the sidewalk seen the others turn around, they also turned around and faced them. So if you ask me what was the greatest moment
yeah.
I've ever had, that would be, I would put that top of the list.
You know, you had mentioned there that for the last couple of years there has been tremendous and very significant presence of the U.S. military. And it is one of the very prominent in-your-face downside of the sequestration that this year, the military,
yeah.
U.S. military, will not be participating in the St. Patrick's Day parade because of the
sequestration, the problems in Washington, D.C. Just the military from Washington, we have our local military units and all of that, wouldn't
yeah.
be participating, but not the ones from Washington. From the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy, and they were looking forward to coming up. But listen, they'll be back again.
I know. But it does, though, it shows how totally ridiculous this is. If we could remove the politics from that particular area, I think that it is such a mark of respect, and indeed the converse. It is a tremendous disrespect for,
yes.
For our military, for our leaders, for those who have been to the forefront.
Yes.
That now the kerfuffle over the $85
yeah.
Billion
yeah,
dollars, which is chicken stuff
yeah.
compared yeah. to anything yeah. else, that this should get. And there's enough blame there for Republicans and for Democrats
yeah.
and for the
whole works.
Right across the board.
And last year we had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey.
That's right.
Parade.
Absolutely.
And a magnificent singer, knows a fleet of Irish songs, a beautiful
really?
Tenor voice. Yeah.
Now you have, you're about the only person that I ever know who has gotten a very special award, one from, above all, the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, has presented you with a Medal of Honor with your Army serial number engraved. Just tell us about you, John Levy, the Army, and the fellow who was barely in the United States before you were marched off.
That's correct. It was only 3 months and 15 days when I was drafted in. I was down at Whitehall Street, took one step forward, and I was informed by a lieutenant, a group of us that were now private ones in the United States Army, the lowest of the low. Couldn't go any lower in society. And when I got down
How were you drafted?
Well, I was, listen, when to get visa to come to America, part of the thing I had to take a medical, I had to get records from Ireland from the police, there had no criminal record and all of that. And
this was for a temporary green card until you got December.
Yeah, visa to come to America. And I had to raise my hand that at the embassy in London that I would register the Selective Service within 6 months of arriving here.
How did London come into it? Is that what?
Well, I was 7 years in London before that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I worked there for, drove the double-deck buses for a while.
You did?
In London, yeah, I did indeed. Okay. We're out in, believe it or not, I'll tell you a story. I moved out from the Central Road Services to the Country Buses and Coaches, which was Windsor Garage in Berkshire.
Uh-huh.
And I got bed and breakfast. The first morning I was there, I woke up about 7:30, and I listened. It sounds like bagpipers.
Hmm.
I out opened the window, and sure enough, it was bagpipes. And the next thing, this bagpipe band came up the high street, and the Irish Guards was on duty at Windsor Castle.
Hmm.
And there were, the barracks was about a half a mile away, and every morning the bagpipe band led the guards up for the changing of the guard at Windsor Castle at 8 o'clock.
Well,
that goes back a few years.
Now, tell us about where were you born, and your awareness of St. Patrick's Day, and how was it celebrated at that time?
Well, I was born in Coole, in County Westmeath, but there was very, other than going to church and that on, in Ireland, there was no parades or anything like that. I was born in 1938, so during the war years, there was keeping yourself alive was more important than parades
indeed,
or anything else, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and indeed we can say for after the war years as well.
Good many years.
For those of us, and no secret, I was born in Mayo, and other than it being a holy day of obligation.
Yeah.
And a day of great celebration for some who were observing the Lenten season and had, as they say at the time, they'd given up something, whether that was sweets or chocolates or drink or whatever. But this was a time of year where the strain of abstinence was starting to get to it. So as we got closer to St. Patrick's Day, you were absolved from any of your Lenten obligations on St. Patrick's Day. So between the holy day and getting a reprieve for that one day, because you were back on your abstinence the following day again, we didn't think a lot about parades and celebration. Which brings us to this, the 252nd year of the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade. And to think that we, growing up in Ireland, were barely aware. We heard about parades in New York, and we heard about some other parades. Because even, you know, you in County Meath, there wasn't much happening in Dublin either. There wasn't much happening anywhere.
There was no parades, other than a celebration of a religious holiday. There was very little other celebration that I'm aware of. There were none over there, but they certainly, here in America, when they came here, they certainly picked it up. And it was British soldiers that was the occupying force here, and some of them was of Irish extraction, decided they were going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So the original parades, excuse me, from what I'm led to believe, that it was in Lower Manhattan, and they went around from the church to church down there, and the parish priest reviewed it on the steps of the church. It was all down in Lower Manhattan.
Right.
And from that,
was that the old St. Patrick's Cathedral?
It's from the old St. Patrick's Cathedral, the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
That's where all the immigrants come in down there, and there was quite a few churches down there. St. Joseph's and Bridges and all of them, and they were they went around the march around. That's the early ones that I'm aware of, anyway. But the certainly in recent years, they certainly brought all the traditions of Ireland with them, the music, the song, and I guess America gave them that freedom.
Yeah.
You know,
there is a book, and it was published by Quinnipiac University Press. That's now 2 years ago, and it was written and edited by singularly the most recognizable Irish historian, particularly with the on St. Patrick's Day Parade and beyond, and Lynn Bushnell, who is executive vice president at Quinnipiac University, a great book that indeed has recorded with great flourish and with great photographs and archives some of the most amazing facts, which again dates back to the establishment of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which was not political, which was not, it had to do with, and I'm sure that had something to do with the decision going back to 1993, that this, in fact, is a religious founded, religious parade, and as such, it is a private parade that has become the most public Irish event in the world.
It is, yeah. We have people come from all over the world. And something a lot of people may not know, there's 10 St. Patrick's Day parades in Japan. 10.
10.
There's a guy came here, he's the chairman at the parade in Yokohama, Hideki Mamura.
Yes.
He's been here several years to review our parade here.
Right.
And
indeed, you brought him to us there a couple of years back. And he, what would, God knows your invitation has gone far, and wide, but there is somewhat of a fascination about the St. Patrick's Day Parade that we will not find anywhere else.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the thing about St. Patrick's Day, when people think back to it, it absolutely has the religious thing there. We always say our day of celebration begins with a Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral, our faith, our heritage, and our culture. But the joy of the Irish people, you know, the music, song, and dance. And there's always a smile on their face.
And the culture.
No matter how sad the situation goes, with the song, music, and dance, it took them out of that morass that they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that with them, no matter where they went, all over the world. But yeah, music is a great equalizer in so many different countries and so many different areas. The music is certainly brings the best out in people.
Let me ask you about a transition. And my guest friend is John Dunleavy, who is chairman of the New York St. Patrick's Day. As a matter of fact, he's getting the hang of it, no more than some more of us know, in his 21st year as leader of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. There have been times, and I said tongue-in-cheek when we opened this interview, you know, about the critics, about those who feel that the psalm is of such a high profile.
Yeah.
And again, live streamed, televised, the world gets to get a bird's eye view of what is going on. And invariably, when you have that number of people, there will be occasions where media, God bless them, don't just want to do hour after hour of a tremendously well-run parade, but there'll be incidents where there are those who are wearing the plastic hats and the plastic ties and acting the maggot, acting the Aegis, mostly on the sidelines. But that has improved tremendously. I mean, it used to be the drinking, the lunacy, the image was pretty rough during your earlier days.
Oh, it was indeed, Adrian. In the late 1970s, early 80s, we had awesome problems with alcohol consumption and Bakri going on up there at 86th Street and everything else. And everything until one year, Cardinal Cook appealed to the youth to turn away from that for 3 years in a row without success. And then George Comfort one day at a meeting got up, and he announced that the parade was no longer going to be on Fifth Avenue. It was going to be in Central Park, and it was going to be on a Sunday. Well, if you dropped an atomic bomb on the Irish-American community, that was it.
Oh, my God, and I remember very well.
They got up off their butts, and everybody, the city agencies, everything else, said, we can't have that. We've got to have a parade on March the 17th, and so on and so forth. So from that point on, it got better and better. But my thing, and I've been preaching this, you're on Fifth Avenue 1 hour once a year. You come down, they get dressed up in your best clothes, shine shoes, and march up that avenue, put your head high and your shoulders back, proud of your Irish heritage, proud of America here and what America has given to all of us. And I always emphasize there's no alcohol consumption before the parade or during the parade, but if you want to go and celebrate afterwards,
absolutely,
be my guest. Now, it's having its effect because we have the alcohol consumption. You don't see very, very little of it. I'm not saying that there's some out there, yes, but it's kept down to a minimum. And our youth,
that is the exception to the rule.
Yeah, that's correct.
And many
we keep ahead. And
right.
The parade has, now it's a, I see what I see in it, is families is coming back now to watch the parade,
right,
participate in the parade, and they want to come down there. But we had, there was some serious problems going back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
But thank God, it's a vast improvement on it.
But we also should say, though, that image is everything, and that indeed wasn't. It took decades and decades for people to understand that this is a celebration.
Yes.
And one of Irish heritage. And the last thing that we need were people primarily from out of New York, primarily from those coming in from different areas, who were of the opinion that this is the day to come in and show the worst aspect of it. Fair play to your leadership and your committee in getting not only the New York City Police Department, but in getting through to other law authorities, particularly in the outlying areas, and getting them on board to make sure that you don't wait until they hit Fifth Avenue with their coolers to do this. That has been most effective, effective.
It has indeed, and on the trains, the subways. Well, in the beginning, they had confiscation units at all the train terminals, at the bus terminal at 42nd and 8th Avenue, and all of that, and the men that came in with their coolers, they were confiscated. So the word got around among the youth. They have a unique way of talking to one another. But
sure do.
But the word got around. If you want to come in and celebrate New York, you leave the beer alone.
Mm.
It has been very, very effective, and it's the way it should be. And like I'm saying, afterwards, I mean, I have a few beers after the parade.
Yeah.
I need them. After you've been down there through all of that, I'm down there at 5 o'clock in the morning. But the other thing, you see, it's benefited the city. We bring in an estimated at least $250 million in tax revenue to the city.
Not bad.
Every year. Mm. And more important than that, we have bands from out of town come in. There was one there a couple of years ago from Coppell in Texas. There was 280 kids come in.
Mm.
Now, they spend 3 days in New York City here. They go to the museums, they go to the Broadway show, they participate in the parade. And now you have 280 ambassadors. When they go back to Coppell, ambassadors for the city of New York. Now, there's bands up from Londonderry, New Hampshire, and everything else. The same thing. They come from all over the United States. And they go back with tremendous, the one can't wait to get back to New York. So the goodwill that it presents here in New York is absolutely phenomenal throughout the United States.
Absolutely.
And benefits the city.
Not to mention that particularly this year, this is the year of the gathering in Ireland, and it is a tremendous initiative. It must have some great significance if indeed it brings the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Ireland, to New York City. And the word is, of course, that this is the year to visit Ireland, that this is that there is a justifiable reason for people to think of going to Ireland. The number of events that have come out of nowhere. Right. Every village, every parish, every area is rolling out the red carpet.
That's correct.
But let's put that into numbers. How many, roughly how many participants are there in March up Fifth Avenue on St. Patrick's Day, give or take?
There's probably between 180 and 190,000 people.
Thousand
march up.
The spectators on the roof.
A lot depends on the weather. Like last year now, we had over 3 million people on the streets in New York. It was 65 degrees. People came out of the woodwork.
Mm.
We have reviewing stand. We have approximately 2,500 seats there. We give out about 15,000 tickets. We never have a problem because nobody shows up at the same time.
Right.
But they did last year.
Yeah.
Everybody came out. Young children, families. But they all had a wonderful time. And the weather was absolutely magnificent last year. We've had occasions where we've had snow, a little bit of rain,
and
cold. But last year was absolutely, probably other than 2002, when we had that big, big parade. I would say last year was the largest audience we've had in many, many, many years. But the city is a beneficiary of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the city at the present time don't give us anything. We have to pay for everything.
Good point.
Yes.
There isn't one single salary despite the... $250 million dollars that comes into the city coffers.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that it is a great boon. This would hardly, and this the last year of Mayor Bloomberg's reign.
Yeah.
His 12th year. There isn't much sense in getting into some of the great changes, like the shortening of the route.
Yeah.
What is important and what is significant, though, is that it still is the greatest parade in the world. It's still the best run parade in the world. And I just want to make an observation. We have a great cardinal in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He is humorous. He is a fellow with a great sense of humor. He loves his Irishness.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, however unlikely it will be that he would be selected as Pope, when his feet are to the fire in the last week or last couple of weeks, and he was asked very specifically about the changes that Rome could make, the changes that could come out of the Vatican with the new Pope and all the rest of it. Despite all of his great humor and his tendency to make light of everything, he got very serious. And he said that on matters of faith within the Catholic Church, that there are a great number of things which you don't rely on public input or public opinion. This is, again, I'm sure you'll get criticized for this, but this is a private organization. It is run from Rome. Here are the membership. Here are the membership rules.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, tough. Is there some of that that actually spilled over into the St. Patrick's Day when, in fact, a great number of people, that other 49% that I was talking about, would feel that this should be an open parade? It should be one that celebrates a very liberal position, whether that is gay rights or whether that is the utilization of St. Patrick's Day to bring in other issues, many of them contrary to the regulations and the rules and regulations of the Catholic Church. Can we give me your opinion on that? Well, Dolan, Cardinal Dolan, there's no question about it. He's a breath of fresh air here. And every one of them was a little different. Mm-hmm. Cardinal Egan was, I like Cardinal Egan. He was an excellent individual.
And God, he wouldn't have wound up at 51% either. He would have beat him down.
And yet Cardinal O'Connor before that
yeah.
Was a very wonderful gentleman. In the church, and we got along. He supported us in many of the items that we'd done, and yet he was a people person. He went out there and he'd done things for people with AIDS and everything else,
yeah.
And he didn't get the credit for it. But he and the same with Cardinal Egan was a little different. But this man, he's a people person. He talks to people, but they're not going to change the basic foundation of the church. The church has always changed. It's like the parade, too. If you were to look at the parade 50 years ago and what
right.
it is today, it's totally different. And if you have to ask somebody, when did it change, nobody can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is basically the same thing. It doesn't change overnight, but it's constantly moving
okay.
forward. The basic tenets of the church, the foundation, has to be always there. If you
mm-hmm.
change the foundations of anything, the whole building collapses after a while.
Right.
So I believe that the foundations are there. They are going to change, certain changes. There's no question about it. The celibacy rule, I think, is one area, I think,
mm-hmm.
because there are plenty of people of the Protestant faith and the ministers and that, and they turn Catholic,
yeah.
and they're able to operate without any problem whatsoever within the church and the Gospels and all of that. So I believe that it may not come next year, the year after, but I believe somewhere down the line it will. They have to address it.
I think we need to clear up, though, for once and for all, probably some of the myths pertaining to the St. Patrick's Day parade. And I can ask you, like, straight out, are those who are gay, those who are have chosen a different lifestyle, which is not approved in the Catholic Church, can they march in the parade?
Well, my policy always is, I never ask anybody who they are, what they are. They're more than welcome to march in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
What anybody does in private is none of my business, and what I do in private is none of their business. I don't ask them. They're more than welcome to march in the parade, and I'm saying thousands of them do.
Right.
March in the parade.
And have.
They're proud of
yeah.
their heritage, they're proud of their, and they're proud to march up Fifth Avenue as Irish persons. What their lifestyle is shouldn't be of any significance.
Mm-hmm.
But people want to force it down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And when you try and force something it doesn't do, you have to build relationships with people, and maybe you can change their minds. I don't know. But
the objection, though, is that not just gay, but there are several groups. Lest anybody think that the only group who have been denied a banner proclaiming whatever it is that they espouse, there are so many groups and different. If you were to roll out the applications that you get in the course of a year, everybody thinks in terms of the banner. Everybody thinks in terms of putting, their issues there and getting the coverage. The parade rules, if I understand correctly, is that you have an American flag.
Yeah.
You have an Irish flag,
yeah.
and you are allowed a total of one banner
yeah.
to represent
identifying
the group. Yeah. And it would be fair to say that since this is a private parade,
mm-hmm.
the most public parade in the world, that has no exclusions in terms of those who can participate in the parade, has maybe many wouldn't agree with it, but they have the right to choose who and who cannot wave the banner within the framework of an Irish Catholic parade. Shinné, as they say at home. That's the way it is.
Well, I don't think we're going, during my administration, is not going to change. I've been spending more time in courtrooms over the last 20 years than you can shake a stick at. Not in the last four or five, but in the very beginning. The amount of time and depositions that I had to give, testifying in federal courts and everything else. And it went all the way to the United States Supreme Court.
Well, of course, being from Cool, being from County Meath,
I don't.
We won't wait for you to wobble at the knees.
No. I don't. You see, I treat people very, very reasonable. And if you have some problem, I sit down with Christine Quinn, City Council, President of the City Council, a very, very wonderful person, warm person, but we differ on that.
Right.
And I told her...
you have agreed to disagree?
Well, we have agreed to disagree. And I said, Christine, if you're running for mayor of the city of New York, there's a good probability I would vote for you. I have no problem with Christine. She's a very, very good person. But from that point of view, we differ. And so be it. She is I know I'll sit down with anybody and talk to anybody, but that doesn't mean to say that I'm...
Well, I think we're a beneficiary of your steadfast decision as chairman, because when all of the politicians who would really love to be, particularly in this year with the mayoral election coming up, when they would really like to be on Fifth Avenue, every last one of them wind up over here in our studio. And the different one has anything to say other than their pride. Many of them not Irish, but they have, again, a great pride in what is the biggest, the best-run parade in the world, and that has to do with the badge of honor for the city of New York.
Yeah, there's no question on that. But what always bothers me is when politicians want to use the parade for their own benefit.
Right.
They couldn't care less about the parade, but they want to use the exposure that they can get, the television coverage and the cameras and everything there, because the eyes of the world is on Fifth Avenue on March the 17th, and they want to use it. And we had several of them over the years have tried to use it, and we discourage it entirely, come in with banners and everything else use. And that's some of them didn't even ask. They just come in and use it. We have to have them removed. So the parade is an honor of a saint in the Catholic Church, whether we like it or whether we don't.
It's
St. Patrick. He's taken us an awful long way. So he has, in good times and bad times and everything else. But it's an honor of St. Patrick. It's an honor of our heritage and our culture. And as long as I'm there, I can't speak for the next generation or the next chairman coming after me, but every chairman is a little different. Judge Comerford was a very stiff individual. He you didn't argue on them.
He only got his comeuppance when he got fed up and said, we're going to put this over in Central Park.
Yeah, that's correct.
That was the one blemish that he would have, but by the same token, he got his point across.
Oh, he did, yeah. Well, he wouldn't have... You see, the message had gone out, and nobody was paying any heed to it.
Right.
But he certainly got their attention on that one. The city agencies, the police department, and all of the men that got up off their butts, and they made things happen, and they cleaned up the parade. And that was his whole point in doing that. He knew it wasn't going to be in Central Park, but he done it for to get their attention. Certainly he got their attention, I can tell you that.
I am, I wanted to acknowledge here that I've been presented by you, and I cherish this. It's the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade, and it is the chairman's coin of excellence, but this says a lot about the parade. And I'm happy to be a recipient of it, celebrating Irish faith, culture, and heritage since 1762.
That's correct.
That says a lot.
A lot of tradition there. And it's, and that's what keeps the tradition alive. And the more we get away from our traditions, the more we lose. So the more we keep within our traditions. I think we pass it on to the generations coming down after us, and their application of it, hopefully they will continue the same thing for many, many, many years after I've gone from the scene.
Yeah.
But we do have, Adrian,
for anyone who is waiting for you to go away, they have a long wait.
No,
perhaps it is a great a tribute to not only you, but definitely the St. Patrick's Day Committee.
Yes, absolutely.
And those who have served through generations have an awful lot to be proud of.
There's an awful lot of work goes on in the background. I have to raise almost $1 million every year for that parade, and that's not an easy thing to do. But we do it, and we do it successfully, and we're getting a lot of people, because they feel that the parade is, represents something good, they want to come in and support it. And
one of the things we would like to point out is that I don't think the parade would have had the success that it has had without the tremendous support of John Leahy, who has been to the fore for decades, and the support that he brings through his being president of Quinnipiac University and Ireland's Great Hunger Museum in Hamden, Connecticut.
A wonderful gentleman is John. His mother taught him up in St. Margaret's School. My two daughters went to her.
Up in your own?
Yeah, that's correct. And his property butts onto mine in Riverdale. So I know the Leahy family for many, many years. A wonderful, wonderful Mrs. Leahy was quite a lady.
Absolutely.
But we have Hilary Byrne. Hilary is in a with the computer and everything else. We have expertise. We have Mike Castles.
Oh, I know.
A wonderful group of people that support that parade. Kathy Maselli, we have Jim Lombard and Rosemary. I could go on and name them. But it's teamwork. It's teamwork, and we don't turn away anybody. We sit down and talk to anybody if they have a problem. We move some of the counties up, over and put all the counties together at the back.
Yeah,
I want five or six of them up every year to give them their day in the sunlight and so on and so forth. But there's been a vast improvement. We get some beautiful bands from all over the United States, you know, military bands and everything. So there's a vast improvement on the who's in the parade and who's not. So we'll hope to continue that into the future. And like I said at the very beginning, we advise everybody, look, no alcohol consumption before the parade or during the parade. Walk up that avenue. Proud of particularly your heritage here that you brought with you to America, and what America gives to all of us. The opportunities here, it's a remarkable country, and every day I get up and I say, God bless America. It is indeed a remarkable country. And you look at the history of that and the labor movement here and every facet of American society, there's some Irish people was involved in some way, shape, or form. Sure. So,
And for the better of the U.S.
Absolutely.
Chairman of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, first of all, happy 21st birthday. It's a while since anybody said that to you.
You make good coffee, though.
Oh, I'll tell you that, yeah.
So I may be back.
Chairman of the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade, somebody I'm proud to know as a friend, John Dunleavy. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.